Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live here coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome my old friends by saying Habari Ghani and saying what's up to my new friends. Come right in and have a seat. Our chat rooms are now open. If you would like to feature a co-host in my chat room, please send me an email and let me know. Our chat rooms are now open. And we are resuming with the special alert. As I told you yesterday, we interrupted these airwaves to bring you a special feature story on foreclosures. And we're not going to stop, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to put our other topic on hold about startups until we can come to some type of understanding with our audience. Yes, we are continuing on, and we brought our expert guest back again today. Mrs. Tanya D. Dennis will be with us again to talk to us about what are the necessary tools that we need to put in place to prepare ourselves. One of the tools that we're not going to forget to put in place, and we didn't do that yesterday, was we didn't do our libation, and that is a traditional ritual for us. We call on our ancestors because we know they will pick us up and make us strong, and they're the sum total of why we're here. We must remember that our ancestors, they traveled through the Middle Passage, and they also went through terrible things during the Jim Crow laws and trying to move forward. So we're going to ask that we stand on their shoulders by inviting them into this room to participate in the libation as we commune with them. And we're going to call on our ancestors because we know we can't do anything in our own strength. We need them to support us. And we also need them to break down the barriers and cut through the bureaucracy in these courtrooms. So we're calling on them for that purpose. We know whatever we decree in the spirit realm will be decreed in the natural. And that is why we're following the laws and principles, and we are sure that we will prevail at what we're doing. So today is a very spiritual moment for all of us because we're making a decree, and the decree that we will send out all over the land and the nations and the diaspora, that every man or woman that is struggling through a litigation case, that barriers will be broken, that walls will be torn down, that judges will be more sensitive, and that lawyers will come forward. We're decreeing these things because we make this decree in hope that what we do here in the spirit realm will manifest itself in the natural. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll hold tight, I want to say hello to our guests, and then we're going to go straight to commercial and come right back and get ready to do our libation ceremony. So get your glasses of water out, get your list of your heroes and sheroes, and also of your deceased loved ones who might have made their transition but are still here with you. Please remember that we do this not to worship our ancestors, but to commune with them, to ask them to allow themselves to reconnect back to the greater circle. Hold tight while I go and say hello to my guests. And if you don't mind, come right in, people, and have a seat. Our chat rooms are available to you so you can chat and make your statements right there. Hello, Tanya, and how are you?
I'm doing really well, Cheryl. How are you?
Just fine. And Tanya, if you'll just hold for 1 second, we're going to go to commercial, and we'll come right back at you in the atmosphere because we do have to do a little house cleaning and pay some bills around here. Hold tight.
All right.
Gentlemen, and we're back. I just wanted to do a little brief overview of who Mrs. Tanya Dennis is for those of you who are joining us for the second part of the show. Tanya was with us yesterday, and she did a fantastic job of explaining the court procedure, the foreclosure procedure, modification and short sales. And a lot of this may be over your head, ladies and gentlemen, but Tanya is an expert, and she has transition from being carrying a lot of roles such as teacher, administrator, to now being an advocate for the causes of foreclosure properties and helping people to matriculate through the court system. She is from California. She is also a graduate, and she is a school teacher. And that's what I want to put out there in the atmosphere. Teachers all over the diaspora, you need to be calling in today. So I'm calling on you teachers. We do always support one another. And that's why when I made the clarion call out to Tanya, she responded. We have like minds and we have kinship of being in the classroom together, and teachers bond together to help one another. And I'm calling you teachers wherever you are all over the diaspora. So this phone line should be ringing. You should be calling in here about your mother, your brother, your sister, or even yourself who may need help. This is a talking cure ceremony that we do to talk spiritually through problems that we have, and everyone know how we do it in this room. We believe that there is strength in numbers, and we believe in a communal setting. So therefore, we call our ancestors to be with us because we know in the natural they've never left and gone anywhere. We call them back for their strength so we can tap into their authority, and we call them to align themselves with us. So I'm calling you teachers who are out there and who are off for this summer. Get on that line and call in because your questions are needed. Your support is needed. Mrs. Tanya has worked very hard in this profession outside of being a teacher to help many people in the area of advocacy. She's an expert when it comes to doing the litigation aspect of the paperwork. She also has won awards from NAACP for her outstanding work that she's done with community work in the area of litigating. Now, she's also been able to recoup her house back, ladies and gentlemen. Even after it was foreclosed on, she was able to get the home back and go through a modification. She even went back into her home, broke into it, which I'm not recommending you do, and she made a point by stating that she was not going to leave until someone assisted her and aided her and helping her to get a modification. Her over $400,000 house, they wanted to sell it for they wanted to sell it for a fraction of the cost that her home was worth. In other words, she was underwater, and her house was worth less than what she paid for it, and she was able to recoup her house back. Now she's in her home working towards a modification. Don't tell me it can't be done, people. You're going to listen and talk to a lady here today who has done next to the impossible in fighting bureaucracy. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to cut through the red tape of bureaucracy, find out how we can do pro se, find out how we can get those lawyers out there to do pro bono if we're afraid to stand on our own to do pro se and feel we need more help. There are a number of lawyers out there who are with legal aid who can assist you. And some of these programs like Making Homes Affordable have lists of lawyers that are willing to help. Now, Mrs. Tanya comes to us with a wealth of knowledge. However, she's able to make the complicated issues of foreclosure simplified. She's able to break down that information for the layperson. She's been a great help in a time of trouble for me and my household. She's assisted many out there in telling them what to do to protect yourself, to get injunctions, and to get the ability to go before and get protection of yourself and your home. You are not alone, but you can be fighting a penal institution. You can be fighting a legal institution and the sheriff by yourself if you don't align yourself with these support groups. Now, we're not asking you to donate any money. We're just asking you to give your time and be a part of this. Now, I am going to set up our libation and ask that you would come in and pray with us. And we're not begging God for anything, because we know God said to command you me. We're commanding the false forces to be today, and we are reminding God of the promises that he gave to us. And he said he would be careful to watch over his words to perfect them. So we're asking and commanding God to watch over his word. He said we'd be the head and not the tail. He said that we would succeed and we would prosper, as just as our souls shall prosper. Today, we are going to get results today. Today is a fantastic day to call the spirits, and today is a fantastic day to bring in our libation. So if you will get prepared and give me 1 second here as we prepare to get ready for our libation, and right after libation, we'll go right into discussion, and we will ask that you solicit with your heroes and sheroes and your mothers and fathers who made their transition, the strongest people in your family. We're asking you to call on them today.
Well, mother, it's a message. Got to take it, the message to our brothers and sisters.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you need to have your glasses of water out. And if you would like to light a candle to your ancestors, your mothers and fathers, and your loved ones, please do so. Now we're going to just sit and meditate and prepare for the libations. As we prepare for the libations, ladies and gentlemen, we will call on ancestors and ask them to come and be with us, to make us strong as we ask them to support us in this effort. We pour libation to the Most High Spirit, which is our Godhead. We pour libations to our Father God and ask that our libation be received. And we say Ashe to indicate, so be it, so let it be done. Ashe. We pour libations to our Mother Spirit by saying Ashe. We pour libations to the North and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the South and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the West and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the East and we say Ashe. We call on the ancestors and ask them to come from the middle passage. If you're out in the Red Sea, we ask you to come and join us. If you are traveling through the Middle Passage, we ask that you would come and be with us, ancestors. For those ancestors unbeknown to us, whose names we don't know, we call on you and ask you to be a part of our recession today. We call on our great-grandmothers who's in high places, like Dick Nish and Lucy, the bones of the DNAs we were found who we don't know the names of. We call on those phones today. We call on our mothers and our fathers, and we ask them to come and be a part with us. We call on Shakez Diop. We call on Dr. John Henry Clapp. We call on Dr. Carruthers. We call on Martin Luther King Jr. We call on Sweet Coretta King. We call on our mothers and our fathers who were the highest and the most strongest in our family. We call on Esther Lee Pope. We call on Robert Jenkins. We call on Marvin Jenkins. We call on our ancestors and ask them to allow us to stand on their shoulders, because we are nothing without them. We know that we would be a damn fool if we did not reach out to our ancestors and reconnect with them. We ask that each and every one of you will call on your ancestors, and if you have a name that you would like to call on, please call their names now and ask them to be a part of our worship. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you do this in remembrance of your ancestors and calling on them so that they can be a part of whatever great thing you're about to do. And we're asking God to open every courtroom, and that they will no longer be shut to the African American or to the minority who has been locked out of the system, who has intentionally been preyed upon for predecessors' lending. We call on the forces to be that they will shadow those hallways of the courtroom now, where those people are about to go and have cases heard, and that they will be slung from one judiciary to the other. We call on the forces to be that those hallways will be laden with ancestors who will be like the watchmen on the wall, who will watch over each and every one of those cases and see to it that people are dealt with fairly and squarely. We call on those ancestors, a strong one like Moses, Harriet Tubman, that those ancestors will be present there, and they will be toting their pistol, and they will be looking forward and say, you're going to wade the water, else you're going to be a dead Negro. And that those forces will be that strong that they will go in those courtrooms and they will lay down the natural law that will prevail over all hidden laws that might not be to the best interest of these plaintiffs. We call on the forces to be today, because we are not alone, Father, and we know that when we call on your strength and your effort, that we are great and mighty in numbers. So as we go into these courtrooms and we go into these mortgage companies and these banks, that we will prevail and you will give us favor. And the favor that you'll give us, we'll be careful to give you the glory and all the praise and honor. And we magnify you at this point and we lift you high, because we're not capable of fighting any battles, but you said that we would not have to fight any battles, that you would fight the battles for us. Now we're calling on you, Lord, and we're commanding you to fight this battle for us, and that you must prevail. We will not turn back, and we will not, he who has been made strong cannot turn back. That we will be steadfast in all that we're doing, and that you will be careful to get all the glory and the honor from what we're doing. And we say amen. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have loved ones that you like to call on, please do so. Now, thank you so very much for going on that talking cure with us. And, Tanya, we do that in these classrooms to let people know that we are strong and mighty in our spirit realm. Whereas we might be limited in numbers naturally in the spirit realm, we have access to all of our loved ones who transition. So therefore, we don't make any apologies for calling on the supernatural, but we realize that we can become immortal as we align ourselves with our spirit realm, and the spirit realm will make intercession for what we don't know to pray for. So that's why we go in the spirit, because there are things that we could leave out that we might not see, and we ask that the spirit make intercession for us. Now, we're going to start our show and going to go from the perspective of just giving an overview to those people out there who might not have been with us yesterday. We have Mrs. Tanya D. Dennis in the audience, the expert, the specialist, our hero, and we're going to invite her back to talk about different types of things that might occur where somebody might be going through a litigation or might be going to getting a modification, the things that we can look for, and just giving us an overview of what some of the things that we can possibly anticipate while in a litigation and what we can do to help those who have lost faith. How do we encourage them to go forward? Because you can't do these things by yourself if you don't have willing, able bodies who want to go all the way. And sometimes it takes more energy to encourage those people who have lost faith. How do we build up the spirit, Tanya, of those people? And how do we keep them motivated so they can keep going?
Well, one thing that we first have to acknowledge, and I'm glad you called on our ancestors, is that I find that the majority of people react out of fear. Lack of knowledge is the most dangerous thing that we face, especially as African Americans. As you know, statistically, we have far less opportunities handed to us. We generate less income. We own less homes. We have a much higher chance of living in poverty. Our properties in the past were redlined. And, you know, with knowledge, knowing what we're facing, then we know what we have to come, where we have to come from, what position of power we have to come from. After the redlining, the American society then, and we know who the power people are, and that is the banks. Our president, I'm sorry to say, does not run this country. The corporations run this country. And so institutionalized racism is alive and well. And the new slavery is our penal system. As I shared with your audience yesterday, when I was arrested in Washington, D.C., on the Department of Justice steps, protesting that Eric Holder, our Attorney General, failed to prosecute bankers for crashing the economy. While I was in jail, I'm sad to say, with the exception of the orange suits, it looked like a slave ship. There was not one white face. There was not one Latino face, although they incarcerate our Latino brothers and sisters also. Every single inmate in that jail were African American. And as you know, once you know you get a record, you're in Jim Crow laws. You can't vote. You're disempowered. So it's deliberate. It was deliberate that they gave 55% of the loans to 6% of the home buyer population, which are African American. It was deliberate that they gave the majority of loans. I mean, an African American woman, as I said yesterday, has a 278% greater chance of getting one of these loans than a white male. And it was predatory. It was clearly predatory. So the first thing we have to do is we have to build our psyches up. Because if you're facing foreclosure or if you're even close to it and you're not able to make your note, the first thing you start doing is questioning yourself. How did I get myself in this situation? And the banks and the media are too ready to say that you are deadbeat, you bit off more than you can chew, and it's not true. I've been on numerous shows, and inevitably there's always a caller about what about the homeowner's responsibility? What responsibility do they have for being in this situation? And I would say, yes, you have a responsibility, about 2-3%. But that bank had the responsibility to give you a fair loan that you could afford. They had superior knowledge, and it was their fiduciary responsibility to do so. But they didn't. They deliberately preyed upon people of color. So you're in foreclosure, and there's a variety of things that you can do. Of course, the first thing you want to do is you want to try to negotiate with the bank. Now, most times people come humbly with their hat in their hand and they say, can you please give me a modification? You don't want to come from that position. You want to come from a position of strength. So you want to present what is called a presentment letter. You get all the information regarding your loan, when it was executed, who was it executed by, what is the interest rate, what type of loan was it? And what you want to do is you want, and if your house was underwater, for example, as I shared with you yesterday, I had a $600,000 house, which as when the mortgage meltdown occurred, went down to $360,000. So the banks are still expecting me to pay on a note worth $600,000, and here my house is only worth half that. That's why so many people walked away. They would have looked and felt very foolish, just throwing good money after bad. So the first thing you want to see is if your house is underwater. And if it is, then you want to tell the bank you want a principal reduction to reflect the current value of your home. Because most of you are not being able to keep your note because your note is escalating to a point where you can't afford it. And if they, the banks, if they have deflated your house, they inflated it, first of all. Now they're deflating it. It's all a shell game. If they've deflated it, then they need to, you know, also assume some responsibility for the current value. They can't expect you to keep paying on that note, and your house is only worth half the value, so you ask for a principal reduction. Then you look at your interest rate. Is it too high? And if you can get the banks to come to the table and give you a principal reduction and an interest reduction, then you have a fair chance of not going into foreclosure, and that's where you want to be. But let's say
what happens, Tanya, if that is done for them, which would put them at a playing field where they could at least lever themselves, but then the employment situation where they might be out of work, then it's a lose-lose situation if they have no income coming in, and here they are in between jobs like most people are, then what type of encouragement would they have at that point? Would they just do better off by doing a short sale at that particular point?
Well, you have two or three options. First of all, check with your city. In the city of Oakland, where I live, they have a program called the ROOT program, where the city will buy the house back, and they will work with a person that's having difficulty meeting their note. There's also some federal programs for people that are out of work. Well, they will give you a period of time to become employed and then work with you. If that doesn't happen, then you try the short sale. But mind you, a short sale is just kind of giving the house back to the bank, and, you know, you don't get anything out of it. Now, if the banks have truly committed fraud against you.
Tanya, say, for example, they get the principal interest reduction, and now they actually have equity in their home. Can they ever look at getting the equity back to the point where there's a little equity left that will tide them over to pay that mortgage until they get back on their feet, or is there ever any equity won back with the principal and interest situation if they give them that?
Right now, most houses are underwater, so there's very little equity in our homes. That's why America is suffering so much. And if there's equity in your home, that would be a good place to, you know, negotiate with the bank to refi. But like you're saying, you're putting a scenario where this person doesn't have a way to even pay if the principal is reduced. But what they can do is if there's really been a crime committed against them, like fraud, which our assessor in San Francisco discovered that 84% of the homes that he investigated had some form of fraud, and sometimes three or four forms of fraud, you can take them to court, and you can litigate that way. I did that with my mother's home, and we stayed in the house from 2009 to this year without paying a penny. And that gave us it wasn't because we couldn't afford to pay. It was because we were challenging their right to even foreclose because they were not holders of the note, which we discussed yesterday.
Did you try to recoup for the damages that was done to you because of fraud? Could that have monies on your behalf that you could use to pay that backlog of money that you owed?
Let me tell you what I'm currently doing, because that is exactly what I'm doing. I have Wells Fargo in court right now, and I'm suing them for elder abuse. As I mentioned yesterday, they gave my 87-year-old mother an $880,000 loan. She had prime credit, but she was on a fixed income of $2,500 a month. And they gave her a pick-a-pay loan, which is a negative am loan, which the interest rate is all over the place. And if she was still paying that loan today, it would be twice her income. So it was predatory. They set her up for failure. And I'm suing them for elder abuse. I'm suing them for discrimination because she was an African-American woman and they gave her one of the worst loan products on the market. I'm suing them for quiet title. And what quiet title is just what it says. You're trying to determine who has right to title of the home. And because the bank securitized our note and put it on Wall Street, 80% of the loans that they foreclose on, they have no right to foreclose because they're not the owner and not the holder in due course, and that is the law. Only the holder in due course can foreclose. So when you're facing the banks, you want to find out who really does own your home. Most of the time it's not the person that's foreclosing. Then you want to look at the documents that they're sending you. Look at when they notarized it versus when they signed it. I have a robo-signed substitution of trustee, which makes the whole foreclosure process right there illegal, that the vice president signed it on January 23rd and a notary didn't notarize it till February 28th, almost a whole month later. So you have to closely look at your documents, and then you come to the bank with knowledge. And I was glad to see you kind of invoke that you wanted the teachers to come forward, because we have to re-educate the American public as to what's really, really going on with these banks. They've become a criminal enterprise, and nobody is checking them. But we have some organizations out there, like the Home Defenders League.
How do you see some of the people, even when they get them in court and get their attention and say, I've been wrong, after they find out that these people are in misconduct and they are found to have fraud, how do they know exactly what to ask for? Now, here they are trying to stay in their home. Can they say, I'd like to stay in my home for the next 60 days? I'd like to see if I can get my deed free and clear. What are some of the settlement things that will make them whole? Because I'm looking at, here is where African Americans can finally say, look, you undermined us during 1865 with the 40 acres and the mule. You know, you went out and gave some southern states that land, and they have that land now to this day because that was a fraudulent situation where they didn't intend to give that 40 acres and the mule, but they were testing the grounds. Now, here we got a prime situation where most of this was done to African Americans. We could readily say, you might not have to try to repay us for all of the punitive damages and give us reparation, but we certainly can ask for our land. We can ask for our land to be given to us scot-free because they owe it to us because our dead ancestors slaved and left holes and rakes in the ground in the cotton fields slaving over that land. And here we are still in the 21st century fighting to get a piece of the land, and people are still stealing our land away, and we still haven't put our feet down and say we're deserving of the reparation, and we want that land, and we're not going anywhere until we get that land, and we want these homes free and clear because you've tried to bamboozle us a second time. And here we are saying we're going to pay for property when at one time no one owned land, and they Davy Crockett came in, took the land for themselves, put their name on it. They don't even own it. And then they sell it back to us, and it rightfully belongs to our ancestors. How do we create a united front and make a mandatory plea that these cases that are in court for reparation, here is an opportunity where I've now found your hand in the cookie jar, you're guilty. So those homes do, in fact, belong to us, and we're paying out for something that we shouldn't be paying for.
Well, they're going to look at you and laugh and walk away. Because they're not going to even say that we're entitled to reparations, because if they were held accountable, we would crash the economy because they owe us more than they could ever pay. The only way that I see, and I'm digressing for a moment, the only way that I see that we could get real reparations is if we went back to the time when we had the Freeman's banks, when we had the Reconstruction period, where there were banks where African Americans were actually depositing their money in a bona fide bank, and instead of lending that money back to the African American freemen, they gave it to corporations that are now major, like Enron and Exxon, and they gave it to these white people that are now multimillionaires. So if we could go back to through your ancestral chart and find out that your mother or great grandfather deposited, say, $1,000 in this Freeman's Bank, imagine how much that would be worth now. And they have records. I'm a writer of a local African-American newspaper called The Post, and the editor, he was researching this, and he was saying this is the only way we could really hold them accountable, because they have records that we could trace that they did not give the money back to African-Americans. They gave it to these white people that are now multimillionaires and we could file suits. But you mean, know, getting back to
Now look at this. Now, during that Freeman's, they were actually held accountable for taking slaves from them, saying that they diminished their business. And in order to satisfy them so that they could allow these slaves to be free, they compensated them with a form of reparation. Those white men who had ownerships of slaves and owned business were given the first reparation under that Freeman's. So that's where all that came from, because it was to appease them to allow the slaves to go free. So in essence,
so
they were the first ones to get reparation.
But see, the whole thing is that would be the point where you would start asking for reparation. But to go into a court right now and come from that premise, you would totally be thrown out. They wouldn't even hear it. But there is so much fraud. There is so much breach of contract. There are so many things that the banks have done, not just to African Americans, but to white Americans in the middle class, period, that I wouldn't even play the race card, because that's what they would say, oh, you're just playing the race card. What you want to do is you want to hold their feet to the fire for tangible things within your existing contract, the fraud. You can see the fraud. And then that's what you have to come at. You have to come from a point of view where they can understand. And so what I would recommend is that your listeners Google Home Defenders League. I believe everyone should belong to a grassroots organization that are fighting these foreclosures, because it's a formidable task to go up against the banks by yourself. It's scary. You don't know what you're doing. We've been programmed to believe that the banks are big and powerful and we're small and not powerful. But when you belong to an organization like the... That's my bell. I apologize for that. I am at school. But when you join like the Home Defenders League, you are joining with like-minded people that are in a similar situation, and they can guide you much easier than, you know, we can on this brief hour as to what you should do and what you can do. It really depends on where you are right now in the foreclosure process. Like you mentioned earlier, they had totally taken my home. And I broke back in my home, and I occupied my home. Now, that worked, because that was in 2010, and it was shock and awe. The bank didn't know what to do with me, because nobody had ever done that before. And they were afraid of bad press. And they tried to silence me by giving me the modification that they did. Now, I had a white couple do the same thing 6 months ago, and this man was an amputee from diabetes, and, I mean, it was a really sad story. And they tossed him out, and they didn't care about
the bad press. Tanya, what do you do when you find that they are letting the same predecessory banks who actually did the damage, they are distributing the so-called settlement in the form of principal reduction, modification? You're actually having to go back to the same bank who had misconduct and say, now that they found you guilty, they are saying that you're disposed of distributing me one of these three things, and you got a choice of the short sale, the modification, or you got one lump sum package of money for the foreclosing of your home. How is it that they can let these same people be involved in distributing the settlement instead of a neutral body of people who are neutral? I just don't get it.
Why do you think I went to D.C. 2 weeks ago and deliberately had myself arrested? We were making a statement that these guys are crooks, and you are letting them, tapping them on the hand and saying, oh, you did a bad thing. You have to pay $1 million fine. When they crashed the economy to the amount of $73 trillion. And our attorney general is sitting on his hands not doing a darn thing, because he represented them before he became our attorney general. So we are not getting any help from the legal, attorney general at all. As you said, with that foreclosure review, independent, that was a joke. They found out that Bank of America was running that program, and you stated earlier that they gave me $800 for my mother's $1,200,000 home. So for $800, they were able to legally do what they wanted to do. And that's why I'm in court with them right now.
They actually made bank.
You got to be crazy.
They made bank. They made bank on those homes. But nevertheless, we still have a situation of people giving up their prized possession. It's one thing to take my car from me. It's one thing to take my motorcycle from me or take my business place of business from me. But when you take someone's livelihood where they're laying their head and that you need that tool to have sanctuary and to be able to have saneism, you got people that are not sane anymore because literally they are sitting on edge because the sanity has been attacked through taking property and taking livelihood away. And when you find people in that state of mind, you find the numbers of mental health problems, people in institutions who normally would never have been there because they can't make sense of this idiosyncrasy that's happening, and then you're saying, okay, function is normal. What is normal? You can never go back to a normal setting of employment, and if your homes are taken, you certainly can't go back to your homes. You can look at them from afar and a distance and be staying in a home with a nearby relative looking at your home boarded up. I think it's a disgrace of the United States. I really do. Even foreigners over in Europe, they do not let their worst people or the lowest class of people, they do not let them sleep on the street. Even their alcoholic and mental health patients are always housed, and they see to it if they have to pay the rent that they will be housed and have shelter. It is a disgrace to allow the human race to sleep under bridges and to sleep outdoors. It is a disgrace for the United States of America saying that our people have a piece of the apple pie when blacks can't even go to the bank to ascertain loans to start a business. It is a disgrace for us to even say we want to stay here because we're part of America. Our parents, sweat and blood, built this city. And if we build this city, then by golly, human beings should be treated better than what they are, and there should be no way that their backs should be turned. These banks, when people go in to ask for monies to help fix their facility up, to upgrade it, the houses have depreciated, and the wear and tear on them where they may need roofs. And you see so many homes in the urban city that need all the work done on them, and they're trying to maintain them, and then you've got people making two incomes. And I don't understand it, how you can have a household making two incomes where one family is trying to make it on one income, and there's no middle class. You dropped the bottom out of middle class, whereas you were talking about the home you own. I mean, they took you out of a class, and you no longer can ever say you'll be middle class again and all the money you have to spend for litigation. I know what you're talking about because I had two homes where literally you almost have to hand them back over to the bank, and you put everything you own, all your stocks and all your money into it, and you watched it go down the drain. And people that are pulling their pension out and their 401ks out to buy these homes, they're mentally going insane as they watch their money go up in smoke.
Well, that's why it's so important to join. That's why it's important to join an organization of like-minded people in the same situation, because, like I said earlier, and what you said, going through it by yourself, you don't have a point of reference. You don't have any kind of support system. You don't know what to do. So organization like the New Bottom Line, Home Defenders League, Just Cause, Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, you come to these groups and you meet regular, and it's not just you trying to figure it out. You're in a room of 10 or 15 other people in a similar situation, and we've come up with solutions. This year alone, ACE saved 75 homes. I was in a meeting two nights ago, and what we're getting ready to do is we're getting ready to walk into Wells Fargo in behalf of three homeowners and demand that they give them principal reduction so they can stay in their house. If they don't stay in, if they don't give them the principal reduction, then we shut the bank down. And that's what you call direct action. And you know what? Sometimes we don't win, but at least we're doing something. And I think what drives people crazy is when they can't do anything at all. If you can at least take some positive action towards saving your house and saving the houses of others, that is very empowering. And like I said, we have a very, very good success rate. So I know the time is short on the station.
I want to say this to you, Tanya. On behalf of the teachers, I want to say our union was strong here in Gary, Indiana, and we fought bravely and strongly.